Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited today because I get to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Warren Whitlock, who's coming to us from Las Vegas, Nevada, or as I used to call it, Lost Wages. So, Warren, man, how are you doing? And welcome back.
Oh, as always, I'm excited to talk to the person you introduced. the man, the myth, the legend. Wow. Thank you for puffing that up quite a bit, but yes, I am here and trying to enjoy my 9-month vacation and making the most of it. Life is great, and what I am super excited about is I think we are in the best decade ever,
mm-hmm.
and including what's happened this year. We could talk a little bit about that, but really I'd like to focus on the future and tell you it's going to be a good one.
And I have to agree with you. I think that things are basically ramping up to change. And so let's dig into it. What is your vision of what the future is? Because I think 2021 is going to be a year of big changes. So what's in your purview?
Yeah, well, I hate to tell anybody that's hoping for things to settle down after 2020, but 2021 is going to change even faster. There might be a difference in the events. We're not going to get all worked up over a presidential election and some of the other things that have happened. There was that little thing, that virus thing, pandemic or something that happened. But, here we are. We're taping today at the end of December. Bitcoin is at an all-time high. The stock market's at an all-time high. Many people made more money this year than last. And there's been just tons of opportunity. And the other thing, we've been forced, willingly or not, and no, I don't think anybody went out and said, let's make this happen. But plenty of people have taken advantage. A lot of fear mongers have. But there's been so many good things, so many advantages, opportunities that you can take advantage of. And we're looking at even more moving forward. So I think change is going to speed up. Things are going to happen faster. And so I kind of have a script I follow for looking at this stuff. Where is your business ready for change? Embracing new technologies, new ways of doing things, and getting ready to be disrupted. And if you don't disrupt yourself, somebody else is going to disrupt you.
Ain't that the truth? And I think that... I think it's a combination of things, to be honest with you. I think there's going to be some new technologies, but I also think there's going to be some old technologies that are going to get an infusion of new, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My example has always been dry cleaner. When I was young and out being great salesman and stuff, I was a media salesman, radio station, and I worked with a guy who had married into a dry cleaner and bought one and bought another one and expanded. And I learned quite a bit about the dry cleaner business kind of from the side. This was a side project for him. So I can't say that I know, which kind of fluid pollutes less. But what I know about a dry cleaner business, it's really easy to get in there and be working all day trying to clean clothes. And that's not what the dry cleaning business is about. It's about servicing people, seeing they get what they want, that you don't lose their favorite slacks that they bring in to have dry cleaned and that sort of thing. So today we don't worry too much about dry cleaning. I don't need that in my home office, but the thing remains, when I take dry cleaning in, I want good quality service. I want a reasonable price, of course. And most of the time I don't want to think about dry cleaners. So, and this is true of just about any business that it's there. What do they say? Even in the plumbing business, if you do your job right, nobody notices. But if you are, if you do something wrong, you might wind up standing in a pile of excrement.
Poo.
Sewage. We'll say sewage. Yeah. I don't think I need to worry about the audience of the toilet paper math man, whether I say a word like poo.
No.
But we'll try to keep the expletives to a minimum here. You ever think about it? You go to a grocery store. That grocery store may have a turnover of $1 million a week. And they have 50 best customers. And the Pareto's principle tells us those people at the top are worth a lot more each than the bottom 50 or the average. And so how do you take care of them? How do you recognize them? How do you say, hello, Mrs. Jones? Or notice when they skip a week buying groceries? Is everything okay? Is there an illness in the family? Do we need to send somebody over with some soup? What can we do to take care of this long-term good customer? Well, then they're not going to be shopping to look how they can save 10 cents on a tin of beans if you've taken care of that customer and they know you by name. And those things exist, but the database programs weren't ready for it. Today, we know that kind of stuff. More importantly, you're talking to anybody, no matter what your job is, if you're cold calling on businesses, there's technology out there where you can tell what the personality is of the person you're going to talk to. There's social media places you can look. You can find out something about the company. You know what's going on. I get so many LinkedIn messages telling me, as CEO of the company, we know what you want is more leads. We run a company that is totally giving away free eBooks online. There's no way that we need to attract the best leads. It just doesn't happen with what we do. Maybe more traffic, maybe getting our readers engaged, maybe something like that. But first of all, if they're addressing me as president of my holding company, they have no idea that we own a business that does that. And they don't have to do that to talk to me. I'm not mad about it. But I know when somebody calls up and says, I've been to this website and I saw something where I think, you might be able to do better. Is that your concern right now? Is it getting more traffic or is it closing more people? And I've identified myself. They've looked up what my personality type is and they know this is a guy that likes to talk. Let me get on the phone and let him talk for a while. And they'll close me every time. And yet most salespeople totally ignore that technology.
Well, and the technology that you're talking about is something that I use. It's called Crystal. I mean, you can get in and actually get a personality profile from somebody directly inside of LinkedIn. And I think the thing that you're talking about, which is one of the challenges, you bring up three key points. Point number one is the Pareto's principle. I've talked to salespeople, and the top companies that are doing the best are mining their current customers 75% of the time and 25% looking for new business. So the company's coming at you with these, hey, we want to give you new leads. They're basically just cold calling in the digital age. Now, the second piece of this is that companies are really good at gathering data, but not really good at mining data. I spent time on the phone today with somebody who spends X amount of dollars a month to have a CRM. And they've got all these contacts in the CRM and they've never tagged them. They've never segmented them. They have no idea. And I said, well, do you want to send out, say somebody likes pretzels and somebody likes cookies. Do you want to send out emails that saying, here's pretzels and cookies? And you choose what you want. No, what you want to do is figure out who likes pretzels and send them just the pretzel email. And the people that like cookies, just the cookies email. But the problem is that people don't spend the time to mine the data. Those tools are there. But a human being has to decide this. You can do it through AI if it's through an ordering system. But what if it's not an ordering system? What if it's something that you've heard talking to somebody? You need to be able to tag that stuff. And then the third piece that you bring up, which I think is, again, really important, is understanding how people want to communicate. You like to talk on the phone. That's something that somebody needs to understand. So these people that are cold calling you via, LinkedIn messages are not going to get the same results as those who pick up the phone and say, hey, Warren, you got a minute to chat, right?
Yeah, well, in my case, I'm going to say no. I have the ringer turned off or it's on the charger. Mm-hmm. And so if I saw Brian is calling me. I tell the person I'm on in a meeting with, hang on, it's an important call coming on the vacant line. But that's me. I already know you. But if somebody I don't know cold calls me, no, I'm not even going to answer the phone. Not because I don't want to talk to them, but because I don't know, I don't have the bandwidth to sort that out with everything else I'm doing. So I give up answering the phone a long time ago. I keep thinking maybe I ought to be able to answer the phone more often, but I'll tell you, every time I try, it winds up being a fully cold call that has no idea about me or my experience, that I've probably done what they're doing before. And I've already got them figured out. And they give me the name of the company. I look at the website. I've got their pitch figured out before they get into the first slide. But they don't know that until they try somehow. So I appreciate that they tried. They call, they maybe leave a personalized message with it. That would be okay. I don't get many of those, but that would be okay. Better would be the LinkedIn message that's taking a stab at it and saying, I've got leads. Are you looking for leads? That would be okay if they made a guess that I might. But if they've got a group of 1,000 leads and they send out that same exact message to all of them and think they're real clever that they've inserted a company name from, I've got projects going on with 3 different company names and they don't know which one I'm concerned about today. I know when you first told me about Christo, my pushback on it was, well, wait a minute. I talked to a lot of people in a lot of different places, and sometimes getting up-to-date data doesn't work. But the same problem with Nimble, where they have to do a really good job of surfacing more information if you're in a corporation and have some stability. But in guessing the right email address, all that kind of stuff, the tools work. But when you get people that are involved, I'm on this board and I'm over here advising this other company and I've got a customer that really is more like a, full-time job. Which one is it, the one that you want to get me with? So probably if somebody makes a connection with me, there's something I'm going to be interested in what they're doing, especially if it's innovative and smart and I like the person I'm talking to. I want to hear from them. But, I'll tell them to send me an email. And then this cold calling mentality is suddenly it's okay to send an email to a cold prospect. And if they don't answer in 3 days, send another one reminding them that they sent me an email 3 days ago. Did I get it? Well, that's pretty much the definition of spam. Right. Repeated messages to somebody who didn't ask for it. So what you teach about getting to know is important. I personally think the AI is going to get smart enough that we're going to get a good dossier on a person where you can read a couple of paragraphs and be ready for the meeting. The other thing is taking notes. I'm playing with some tools now that will take the notes, try to arrange them in minutes of the meeting, and then make recommendations of what to do next. I think the tools are going to get better. I think that we're going to be able to have that. And I imagine it being a dossier on the person you're talking to. All permission, Blaze. Let's not talk about the security. Do you have permission to have that information? Yeah, people, I'll give that up. I tell Amazon very many things about my personal self, and they know my home address, and other people get a business box. But Amazon, I love that there's going to be packages on the porch when I get done talking to you. And I love them, and they always make good recommendations to me. Other people hate Amazon.
Right.
You know that about me, then you know that you can reach me through selling me a good deal on Amazon. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that you're talking about is I think there's going to be a lot more integration, good integration. One of the things that I discovered is I could put Evernote integrated into Zoom, so I could actually take notes directly inside of Zoom without having to go and open up 2 different apps.
I need the AI to write those notes for me, but yeah,
well,
you
can.
And I are on the same page.
They actually have that too, because Rev will actually do the exact same thing. There's another program called Sonia that takes notes. Mm-hmm. Those things are there.
Firefly.ai is working for me, but I can't say I'm using it. It feels like it's getting in the way and trying to take notes when I don't want them.
Right. And that's the key. But the biggest thing is that you have to go through and kind of, polish the notes up in the way that you want it. That's the biggest thing. So what other technologies are you seeing, or what things are you seeing in the not too distant future that have you excited?
One that's really interesting me right now is the restaurant business. I've never been in the restaurant business, but I went back in the early days. We're talking early 80s, I was a radio advertising salesman, and we had a Straw Hut Pizza open up in town. And it was, today I'd say it was a kid opening it. You know, he might have been 30. And I was in my 20s, as was my boss who handled his account. And they became friends. And the three of us did a few things together. And one time he's sitting there telling us the restaurant business. It's one third food cost, one third labor, and then one third for everything else. And you should be able to get your profit out of that. And I go like, you know, the initial shock is, well, wait a minute. I can make food for a third of what it, what I pay to have it made there. And, you know, of course, if I have my own labor, if I had my own pizza oven, I could do that. And, but it stuck with me as the idea of you don't let those ratios get too far off unless you can really break them. And so one of the things is if I was to open a restaurant today, anything that it would cost me 70% of the gross for food, I know is doomed. But what about playing with some of the other things? Where's the real intellectual property that makes my pizza place different than your pizza place? It would be, what is the sauce and the cheese ratio and which kind of dough I use? And that all comes out as the recipe or the IP. So there's intellectual property in virtually every business. That might be in the brand and the logo, whatever it is, but how that pizza gets to me, it's not about me having to go to that restaurant and sit there. In fact, we know we can't count on our government letting us go and sit in a restaurant in the future. So, I mean, or will there be a pandemic? Or we just can't count on it anymore. So if I was open up a restaurant today, I'd be looking at how can I get the food to somebody's door without my own fleet of trucks, maybe without my own kitchen, and only have the food I want to have prepared and market available, and maybe figure out a way to take some of the savings in overhead there and use it to pay whatever the delivery service is and make it so whether it's fresh hot pizza or like, you know, I don't know about you, but I've tried ordering all sorts of things at home that I never thought I would in the past year. And I found out several times that my favorite place makes horrible food if it has to be delivered 20 minutes away. And all of those little things can be done. That's why I like the dry cleaner analogy. I could pay to have somebody bring the clothes to my house. All those things are possible. We know technically all of that's possible. Implementation's not there. By the way, when was the last time, if you go to a dry cleaner, that they were able to handle any kind of these special requests without, you know, maybe writing it on a slip of paper and hoping to remember? You know, this we're way behind implementation. And so I think the big reset opportunity here is for us to take a look at these things and say, how could I be doing it better? We know the world needs restaurants. We know a bunch have closed. And, you know, how do we get good, healthy food that's safe delivered to the people? And maybe in the future you decide, would you like a burger dropped off out front? Would you like some healthy groceries dropped off? Or do you want a gourmet chef to come in, prepare it for you on site? The cleaning staff comes and cleans it up, and kind of like caterers and everything in between. So, you know, you can choose your package and there'll be people catering to all those things. And all of a sudden, it's not how fancy of a restaurant you have. And people say, doesn't that compare to the food truck mentality? I think so. I think food trucks are a growing trend. But why have the food truck? Skip it and just bring me the meal I want.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up a really good point, and that is, I mean, in our neighborhood, and I've seen this, is you've got these guys going around delivering steaks, all right? But they're cold. Right? Mm-hmm. They have the seafood and the steaks and the meat and all this other stuff. It's kind of like, right, Omaha, you know. But they have a truck and they go around and once a month they'll drop off your stuff. Well, what if somebody came up with a heated version? You created a bunch of these meals. You put them in there with just enough time so that you know that with 20 minutes being in that heat that it's going to be at the perfect temperature to get at somebody's house. That you adapt your technology based on what it is that you're doing. It's that just-in-time delivery. It's basically supply chain.
Yeah.
It's designing systems that meet people's needs. And the way that you design systems that meet people's needs is ask them what they want. You have to be able to communicate with the customers. You have to have a two-way communication. And you have to be willing to accept that you know, some people are going to be completely off the chains of what they're going to ask for, but you'll find that happy medium where you can actually satisfy a good degree of people.
Right. And it is about them. It's not about you.
Right. It's always about you. That's, you know, it's not about you. It's about bacon.
Yeah, exactly. We know that. And so, well, there's a perfect example. I love bacon. Getting bacon means I have to buy bacon, make enough for just me, you know, an old man that shouldn't be eating as much bacon as I do. And that's like any, which what I know I can do is go down to the diner, order bacon and eggs, and I'm going to get my bacon. And you know, it's like, there's a whole different range of ways to do this. When somebody comes up with fresh bacon at your door, along with, you know, the meal you want, then they're probably going to have me as a customer. Not if I have to like order it from a restaurant and then pay double to get it delivered in a single serving. They shouldn't have to pay for that. I shouldn't have to pay for that. But I know when I order an Uber, if I'm at an airport and I need a ride, I can get one. I flew to Manila last year. I got there at 2 a.m. and I went to order an Uber. There was no such thing. I found out what they have instead in Asia, Southeast Asia, downloaded the app. Had trouble the first time getting my credit card in and getting it paid for. Fortunately, the person I was going to wait for at the condo I'd got on Airbnb was, you know, spoke good enough English to go out and find the $8 in local money to pay for it. And I gave the guy the cash I had, and we all worked out okay. The third time I ordered a car, it went perfectly. And I could go wherever I want and order a car and go there. Well, I wanted those on demand when I wanted them, because I was traveling. But most of the time, if I want to go pick up lunch or go attend a lunch, I'm going to figure on getting out of here with 10, 15 minutes to spare. And I probably could order it in advance. So I should be able to depend on, I would like a very nice dinner delivered to my address at the list price for the restaurant, and plan that in advance. And I think in that whole one-third equation, or however you go about doing it, it ought to be able to be done. And when it becomes common, they'll you know, get the kinks out of the system, and the drivers will make money, the restaurant will make money, I'll get a good deal at what is apparently list price. And that might be a nice steak.
So going back to, let's mix a couple of metaphors here. You worked at a radio station. You know, the bottom line is ad agencies made their money by selling radio time. And what they got was 15%. So if somebody spends $1,000, they'd make $150. Airlines used to pay travel agents to do the same thing.
Right.
And then they took that away and they made it their own. So travel agents were paid by commission. What you're talking about in Manila is the fact that what you should have had was a travel concierge who could basically set you up and say, when you go to Manila, here is the deal. Here's the app you need to download. Get your credit card in there before you get there. Make that happen. Here's where the currency exchanges are. Here's the things that you need. So what you're talking about is reinventing a service to match the current technologies that are out there.
Oh, the travel one is just so rich. I'm going to give you a quick example, and I think we'll save the rest for another time. But in travel, I know when I'm traveling, I'm thinking, I should be able to push the button to have an Uber pick me up. I'm going to fly from Las Vegas to Atlanta, and I'm going to get there, and I know what hotel I'm going to stay in. I know how many days I'm going to be there. I'm going for a conference, and I'm going to come back. I should be able to push a button, tell the AI that that's what I want to do. AI or human doesn't matter. The concierge then works it all out, says, is this okay? Yes, sure. The car comes and picks me up. I get there. The radio, the clock radio in the room is set to my favorite station. But there are things like, you know, Four Seasons or the 5-star resorts where they do this kind of service. They know you well enough, and you know you're paying a few thousand dollars a night for a room. They know you well enough that your whatever newspaper, local there or local at home, is put under the door. There's a do not disturb sign there for a reason. But I want that all electronic, that it can be there, that there's a tablet inside. I can tell them what I want, and if I want special services, you know I'd be buying them. And everything is like tuned to what could make my life easy. But the biggest thing is I don't have to hail a cab. It's already taken care of. And in the Manila situation, Right. That app auto installs on my phone. Maybe I have to give it a verification I want it. And, you know, that's right. You know, in fact, the marketing deal should be between that app and the airline to know that when I land as a person, as a U.S. citizen, that you better tell this idiot that he doesn't need Uber. You know, you use something else. And all that ought to be able to be taken care of. And whatever you're doing in your business, because we're all here for your, it's not about you and me, Brian, it's about your listeners and Bacon. Mm-hmm. And we ought to, you know, we ought to all look at our businesses and say, how can we make it automatic and easy for people to do business with us? And it will not be a price war if that's what you do.
Exactly. When you provide great customer service, people will be willing to pay for it, unless you're Walmart. All right, one last question for you, and that is, what is your one big prediction about 2021 that people would not expect?
It's going to be up to us to change what the future is, that these government programs are not going to work.
Okay, and how do we change that? What do we do?
I've always looked at whatever the environment gives me, the constraints, that's my starting point. So if I'm working at a job and I get fired, I don't start by trying to figure out how to get the job back or even another job. I start by looking, what's the best course to take now? And it got me to, after being fired 3 times in 11 months, wake up. And I realized that, you know, the future was mine. It was up to me. And I've been, you know, I went from commission sales to entrepreneur, not that big of a jump, but that, you know, that trying to get somebody else to provide my future didn't make sense. It is not about you. It's about what you can give the world, and you will be rewarded.
Exactly.
In Bacon.
So the bottom line is you need to take charge of the change that you want to happen in the upcoming year.
Absolutely.
Well, my friend Warren, it is always a pleasure talking to you because you are one of those kind of people that always has your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And I want my audience to know how to get a hold of you. So what's the best way to do that nowadays?
Warren Whitlock, WarrenWhitlock. That's .com. That's my Twitter handle. That's my, you know, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm actually LinkedIn books is my thing. You know, you can look for me. You can Google me. And there's a whole bunch of things. I've been there, done that, been around a bit. And I'm always happy to have a conversation with anybody that is distributed.
Well, Warren, thank you again, man, for coming on the show and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And thanks again. I look forward to the next time we can have this kind of conversation.
Let's hope it's soon.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.